It's over here like this. Here we go. So the first thing we have to do is we have to finish up what we started yesterday, last week. We're going to finish that up. It's not too much, but we'll just review it real quick and finish it up. And today we're going to be talking about washing up dishes, washing up sinks, dishwashers, different things that spills on the stove and things like that. So this is number, it's your number five, right? Yeah. Five? Six will be about, six is about baking bread. Six is a whole world. It's really an important share. Number seven, we're going to be talking about the kosher industry, the chickens and things like that, where it's going to be exciting. And number eight, we'll after all that we learned, and it's getting close to Pesach, we'll go over really quick how you kosher your kitchen for Pesach. So that's the what we have in the future for us. Okay, so let's start. So there's a whole din of being able to eat. How are you able to eat? You're a traveler. You're a guest at somebody's house that's not religious. How are you able to eat at their house? So we mentioned last week that there are a few heterim. To understand these heterim, we have to understand some of the language, the terms that goes along with it. So the first thing that we have to know is that stam kli eino ben yoma. Now, why do we say stam kli eino ben yoma? What does it mean, stam kli eino ben yoma? That means the average kli, the average stam kli is eino ben yoma. It has not been used within 24 hours. Okay, that's the average kli. It has not been used in 24 hours. But it's based on a double doubt. It's, double doubts are called sfeik sfeikas. It's a sfeik sfeika. What is a double doubt? Maybe it was used in 24 hours, maybe not. And even if it was used within 24 hours, the thing that I'm cooking in right now is a bad taste compared to it. So whatever is in that, the walls of that kli, gives a bad taste to my food. Anything with a bad taste is not usher. Things that the taste transfers that are bad taste do not usher anything. That's called lithgam.
Why is it giving a bad taste?
Because the combination. Very good question. It's a combination. Whatever was in my walls, okay, if it's 24 hours, let's go a little deeper. Thank you, Ari. If 24 hours passes, you're great. 24 hours passes, so then that already automatically is a bad taste because it's stale. It's stale. It doesn't have a good taste anymore once 24 hours passes. But if it's within 24 hours, the taste that the walls absorbed, we're going to get to that in a minute, the taste that the walls absorbed are still a good taste. It's fresh taste within 24 hours. However, if I take that taste and I put it with my food that I'm cooking now, perhaps, it's a question, perhaps that taste in the walls is giving a bad taste to my food. For example, because the combination, for example, let's say you're making carrots, okay? Some kind of carrots, and carrots are sweet, and you have something in your food, chocolate milk. You know, you cook chocolate milk in your, you heat it up chocolate milk. So chocolate milk with the carrots wouldn't be such a good taste. That's a bad taste. The combination is bad. So if you were making, let's say you were making some kind of very nice, same thing. You're making a chicken, okay? A chicken. And you have, you, before that, you cooked something that the combination of that thing, you're making a spicy chicken, and you cooked in there, let's say porridge or something like that, some kind of sweet milky dip that would not go with the chicken. You just wouldn't put that combination together. So that combination is called a bad taste, and we'll go into more of that. That's why they say stam kli eino benyom, based on a double doubt. The average kli is not ben yoma, and that's based on a double doubt. Okay? So this is one way of getting out of trouble when you cooked in your house and you forgot, what's the din of this kli? Did I use it within 24 hours or not? This is one way of getting out of trouble. This is one way of getting out of trouble if you go to somebody's house that's not religious and they didn't even ask you. Here, they serve the cake. They serve the food on a kli. And you don't know. What was the din of the kli? What they do? Stam kli eino benyoma. So they, you could say that the food is kosher. We'll go into that a little bit more. If they're not religious, you don't have to ask. They're not going to know. It's not even... doesn't come into it. That's a fake thing. When the Rav asks you a question, when you're coming with a question to the Rav, that's something he should know. That's one, when you guys get this question asked to you, one of the first questions that you should ask the person who's asking you, did you use the kli within 24 hours or not? That's something we can clear up. Okay, and the average person, and certainly the average non-Jew, we do not have to ask. It's only when you can clear it up. That would be somebody that's shyeth to clear it up. Okay? Now, this is all based on the din of tam kikar. So these are things that we should know. When we're working in our kitchens, when we're working along, we have to know what is tam kikar. Tam means taste. Kikar is the essence. Tam kikar. That means that whatever the food tastes like, that's going to be the food. Okay, that's how you either make food, that's how you make food usher. If you say that the treif taste went over. Now, tam kikar doesn't mean that if I have a meat pot and it tastes meaty, because that doesn't mean I'm fleishes. You have to have actual meat. That's what we learned before. You have to have actual meat to become fleishes. Has to be like a potato out of your chulin. Okay, but tam kikar means that if I use the pot and it picks up a bit and it picks up a taste, so that food has a din of that taste, of that, the food has a din. Yes,
Morgan. Only the recent taste, if you use the pot for something and then let's say 4 hours later you use the pot for something else.
That's a good question. The question is, I used my pot at 12 o'clock, and then 4 hours later, I used my pot for something else. It's a combination. Both of those tastes are in the pot. Both of those tastes have potential to mess up another food.
But you have to wait 24 hours.
From the last. That's right. Now, Usually it's all mutter stuff that we're cooking in our kitchen. Yeah. Whatever it absorbs, because that's the eager. Tom Kaker means that. What? Let me explain it to you in a different way. The essence of food is its taste. That's the essence of food. You don't have food. You don't buy a big steak if it is not going to tastes like a steak. So the essence of food is what it tastes like. So that's tam kikar. That's how you know what it is. So when you stick your spoon into your milk, it becomes a milky spoon because the spoon absorbed taste. All you got in that spoon is milk. That's why it's called a milky spoon. If you stick it in meat, so that's based on the din of tam kikar. That's one taste into the spoon, and then the second taste goes into the meat. You just trafed up your meat, unless you have 60 against the spoon.
So the pot is taking the taste of the pot.
The taste that's absorbed by the pot becomes the ether. Whatever you, when that goes into your food, now it's going to change. It has the potential to change the status of that food. Okay, so that meaning that if the taste is there, then I have to consider as if the food is there. Yes. He says, Tom ki ikar, stam kli eino binyoma. Great question. Stam kli eino binyoma is only a din in bidyevit. You can't go and now say, well, my pot is 24 hours old, so therefore it doesn't taste good. So therefore I can go and cook my egg with butter in my meat pot, in my cholin pot, because 24 hours passed. That's only bidyevit if you cooked your food in that pot. Then we say the tom that is a bad taste does not trafe up your food. That's a bit of a din. So how can you go to a person's house and eat their food? How can you go to a hotel and eat their food and eat, you know, use their dishes? That's because I just told you that's all bit of it. So let's look at that a little bit more. Going to a person's house, if they cooked the food, if there was something that happened, that's a bitty of a situation. You didn't tell them to cook it; they did it. They're serving it to you. You got yourself. You're a traveler. You're a guest. So when you're in these situations, you rely on these types of dinim. Same thing, getting a cup of coffee. Getting a cup of coffee. First of all, the coffees are probably kosher anyway. So a simple cup of coffee in anywhere you go is going to be probably, even in the coffee pots. Okay, we will learn next week, no, even today, about washing up the dishes, about whether or not these coffee pots, why they are lamaisa, why they're not treif. All your kalim that you wash up, why they're not treif. We're going to come to that. So now, being a guest at somebody's house, they served you on their plates, that's okay. But now we have a few more things that we have to understand. The whole din of eating off of treif plates. Now again, I'm giving you the example. You're at a hotel, and you got corn flakes, and chalav stam, you're not going to find chalav Yisrael at a non-kosher hotel. But you got the OU on the cornflakes, and you got the chalav stam. You can pour that in your bowl. Why? So the source of this din is a Gemara that says that you should not let meat and milk touch. They talked about in the Gemara, the lady going shopping, and she has, when she buys her meat and she buys her cheese, don't let that touch. What they used to do is, they didn't have bags, obviously, in those days. They would put the meat on, like, say, some kind of cloth, wrap it up, and then they would put the milk on the cloth, the cheese on the cloth, and then wrap it up. And that's how they would keep everything separate. Get their vegetables, wrap it up again. Get anything else, a fish, wrap it up. And then they cut, you know, tie it on the string and walk home. Okay? So they say, don't, when you go shopping, don't let the milk and the meat touch. The halacha, the balei halacha, learned from there, not only can't you let milk and meat touch because one is going to rub off on the other, but you cannot even let them put it on a kli. On a dish that's treif. You can't put it on a dish that's treif. So I just told you can put stuff on dishes that are treif. There's the reason why the Gemara said that, or the balei halacha said that you cannot put food on a kli that's treif is because the kli is dirty. The Kli is dirty. Don't forget, in those days, Kalim were very dirty. Our days today, Kalim are not so dirty. Now let's go to the next thing. If you're going to wash that food, then you can even put it on a dirty Kli, on a dirty dish and a dirty bowl, because you're going to wash the food anyway. So if you, the example that they give would be a raw piece of meat. You can put a raw piece of meat anywhere you want, because anyways, when you go to cook it, you're going to wash it off before you cook it. That's just the natural way, is to rinse off the food before you cook it. So if you picked up anything from the table, from the floor, from anywhere, you're going to wash it off anyways. So therefore, you don't have to be so worried about food that you're going to wash off. Like chickens. I put my chicken on my milchik side. I put my chicken over here. It was in the butcher shop. I'll give you an example. People in America, they buy fish that's cut up. And they buy the fish, it's cut up with who knows what kind of knives, or there's all kinds of junk there. Squid, who knows what. What are you going to do about that? You're buying it, and it's got all that, it touched all that iser food, that tray food. The answer is, you can buy it lechatchila, not worry, because you're going to be washing it off. When you get home, you're going to wash it off. No one just buys the fish and throws it into their pot without washing it. So things that you're going to wash, you don't have to be careful about. You can let them touch the food. Another example would be like apples, I guess. You know, people like to wash off their apples before. If you wash them off before you put them in the serving bowl, but that's, you already washed them off. But if you have them, you get them and you're going to put them in a bowl somewhere, you're going to wash them off anyway. So different things. You can think of other combinations. Okay, so one way of getting out of a problem with the treif kli, we said, is if we say that stam kli is eino ben yoma. We also just said, now that's even if I use hot, yes. The question is like this. Thank you for asking. Yeah. The question is like this. I have a raw piece of chicken. It's great. I already washed it off. Let's make it good. I already washed off my chicken. And the phone rings, and I put down my chicken on the milking side to go run and answer the phone, because if you're like me, you know, you're not spaced out. You don't know where you're going, what you're doing. My wife would always put it on the fleishik side, but I put it on the milchik side. Now comes along, and I already washed it off. Do I have to wash it off again because it was on the milchik side? So lemaisa, I'm telling you now, halakha lemaisa. Okay? You do not. No, but you have to bear in mind why. Because our kitchens are clean. If you go look at your countertops, they're clean. Most countertops are clean. If you see that your countertop is dirty, so then wash off your chicken. If you put it in a thing of milk, okay. But our dishes and our countertops, are everything that we have basically, is pretty clean. We'll talk about the stovetop in a little while, and we'll talk about when spills happen, and we're going to get there. So the second way of dealing with putting food on a dirty kli is obviously to wash it off. And this is the hetter that we have to eat cornflakes in a hotel. Because even though that those kalim, that those bowls, I don't know, maybe those bowls were served to you know, treif chulent. Who knows what they had in there. So even if those bowls were used for treifas, I'm allowed to use those bowls for cold, wet. Okay, now, cold and wet, according to the Shach, according to the Pesach Halacha, if those bowls have been washed, even just wiped, those bowls have been wiped. There's another halacha if they have to be washed. If you want to be a machmir, so you have to wash them. This is all if the food is cold. I can't put hot in because the hot will draw out the taste. And if the bowl is hot, and I put cold in, so the hot bowl is going to give off a taste. Yes. The question is, what about spicy foods? So there's a case brought in halacha about eating pickles and herring off of a plate that has been used for tray food. Okay, and at Travelers, the Ramah mattered it. Travelers, it's not the best hetter. Not the best hatter. There is a hatter, they mattered it, even though that the spice, it's a big machlokus, even though that the salt, the very salty water, will draw out, because spicy things draw out. If it's spicy dry, you don't have such a problem. If it's spicy wet, you're going to have a problem.
You said previously that it takes like 15 minutes. You put
the spice on the
grease.
Okay, so very good. So the question is, at what's the cutoff point? Is it 18 minutes like we talked about before? Is it 5 minutes? Is it 2 minutes? Is it so the let me correct, if I made a mistake, let me correct myself in the past. We have now, and we're talking about transfers of taste and Tav Ki Iker. Okay, we have now my green, you know, that green arisa, the green hot spice that's in a jar, red, whatever you want to put. And I put a meat spoon in my hot spice. Okay, does that make my hot spice meaty? That would be the question. Similar, right? Okay? Or I put my hot spice on my plate. Similar. Either one. So the way that it works is very interesting. The people who are makel, and this is the way I would hold, say that to draw out of the plate takes 24 hours. To go in could even be miyad, immediately. Go in could be immediately. Going out takes time to draw it out. To go in, it depends. If it's salty, very salty, it'll go in. If it's vinegar, it takes 18 minutes. Some people say 6 minutes to go in. Usually you don't have a problem going in. The tray, your kalim, so now you're harif. Your hot spice went into your spoon. Okay, big deal. It was parv anyways, the spice. But to come out, the shachataz, that's our poskim, they hold that it takes 24 hours. There are people that say 18 minutes. So if you want to be a machmir, 18 minutes. There are people that say 6 minutes. But nobody says, unless it's a salty thing, a very salty thing, like we said, the pickles with the, not in vinegar, but in brine. And it has to be, salty is a little bit worse. In the brine, that's in the brine would be miyad. Brine, because it's salty, the salt there has a more powerful influence. So if you want to be machmir, so then you could be machmir that something's going to come out in the pickle juice. The pickle juice, in other words, taking that pickle juice and putting it on your plate, maybe, or taking your fork and sticking it into your pickles, that's also room to be machmir, except for one thing. Let's go now one more heter here. Okay, that was in the time of the Gemara. That was the case they gave in the Gemara. That was the case they gave in the Halacha, and the Meforshim bring down, the commentaries bring down, that was very salty. Our pickles, our harif, even our harif, are salty pickles, our vinegary pickles, they're not very salt. Our salad dressings, none of this stuff is even close to what was called harif, hot in those days. We have 5% vinegar. They had 100% vinegar. They used to dilute it. Maybe they got it down to 80%. Our 5% vinegar, when you put it in with a salad and you put it in with water and you put it in with other things, that vinegar is not hot anymore. Our salty, vinegary pickles, they're not like the real ones that you pick up and you go, man, I can't even eat this unless I have a kishka with it, you know, like a kugel with it or something. They're not that sharp. Nobody should really ever have a shayla about salad dressings. Because if you're going to ask a shayla about salad dressings, whether or not they're called sharp or harif, it doesn't exist today. You got to go find the. Someone told me that you can find 100% vinegar or the very high levels in a specialty store. Our 5% vinegars are nothing. They're nothing. It's almost like water. Okay, so that's and especially even more so when you're dealing, you know, you're putting more stuff with it, and it's on the it's nothing.
The green stuff
is also not bitty evidence. Nothing. I wouldn't worry about it. If you put it in, I would worry that maybe it goes in, but goes into your spoon. Big deal, because it's green. So now I have a green spoon, you know. But it doesn't go. It doesn't come out. Not gonna bring anything out. Yeah. The bottom line is you can. You're a traveler. You can. You can use those harif on the plate. Make sure the plate has been cleaned well. You can, yes.
Make sure the plate is what?
Clean. Okay? Tavola, bro, I'm telling you, you can. The bottom line is you can. You might not want to, but you can. It's better to stay away, but if you want to, you can. You can rely on those opinions that say nothing comes out. That's the Shakataz. They both say nothing comes out. Okay, yes. Again, what? If your fork is clean, you don't have to. Fork is clean. If your fork is clean, it doesn't matter. No. Same thing with your green. You know, that green, red, whatever color you want it to be. That doesn't have to be milk. Now, why do people do that? Is because they might be worried. Maybe I'm eating and the spoon went into some meat and maybe. But technically, you don't. I'll give you a very good example. What happens if you take your knife that you're spreading your butter with, let's go even to a better one, and I stick it into my jelly, and I look in the jelly, and there's milk, butter in my jelly. Is all the jelly milchiks? No. You just take out the part that's milky, and the rest of the jelly goes back to being parv. That's what you do. What? Even if it's been in there for more than 24 hours. First of all, jelly doesn't pickle. Jelly's a salad. Let's say I have my spoon, my milk spoon, in water for 24 hours. That water is parv. Why? Because again, we said after 24 hours, all kalim are bad taste. They spoil. They're the taste in the walls of the spoon will have spoiled. So by the time it comes out of my spoon through pickling into my water, it's already spoiled. Yeah.
What about the jams and jellies are homemade?
Yes.
That are loose. Sugar.
Okay, so what's the question? If you mix the milk in there, you have a better din. We talked about this when we had the coffee corner, you know, the coffee corner with the sugar and everything. Take your jelly and mix it up, and now the milk is bottled. It's finished, and now you can eat it with meat. That's what you could do. You do that, and that's what you should do. Because there's 60 against it. You never had in mind to put, I wasn't putting the milk into my jelly to eat it with the meat. I put it in there, I forgot that it was the spoon. I didn't notice that it was milky. So when I fell in, oh my goodness, and I can't get it out. It went all over the place. Spread out. Mix it up. Mix it up, and now it's parm again. As long as you have 60 against the milk that was in there. You could do that lechatchila, that's still mahadrin.
You need a milk spoon.
What?
You need a
milk spoon. Clean, just clean. You could stir it with a meat spoon too. Okay, that's the deal. Okay, so you have to remember how the plate was used. A lot of these dinim are, if you pour, we'll talk about pour. There's pouring, which is only Asr Kedei Klipa. If you do so, that's when you go to measure how much is against, how much you need. Let's say I put my hot chicken on a milk plate. So how much is going to be Asr? The plate comes out Kedei Klipa. I only need 60 against my klipa. When it comes time for a problem, pots are the worst. Pots are the worst. Silverware and things like that are the easiest to matter. I'll explain in a minute. There's also, when we talk about cleaning, now we said that our kalim, our dishes, our silverware and everything, they have a din of being clean.
Even when they're dirty?
No, because they're in the old days, when they would use a knife, they wouldn't clean it off right away. They didn't have enough water. So they would have their meat knife and they would use it. They're not eating with it, so that would dry up, use it again, dry up, use it again, and it would and the fat would get caked on the knife. So the way to clean that off would be to take it into the and stab it in the ground 10 times. One time I burned a pot when I was just learning to cook when I first got married. And then I was putter from cooking for a long time after that. And what happened was is that I went to throw away the pot. I put everything but hydrochloric acid into that pot. And I couldn't get it out. I went downstairs and I met an old Holocaust survivor. I was living on Mount Zion at the time. And he was living in one of the little rooms there. And he said, "Where are you going with the pot?" It was in the Shoah, it was in Nitzol. "And I'm going to throw this pot away." "Why?" He says, "Look, I can't. I tried scrubbing it with steel wool. I tried all the bleaches. I tried everything I could do, and I can't get it. I can't get it clean. So let me see it." And it was mamish burnt, caked up there. He goes to the little flower pot. He goes to, there was some little dirt there. He takes a handful of dirt, throws it into the pot, rubs it around, and next thing I know, it's clean. He cleaned it in like 5 minutes, what was taking me an hour, 2 hours, and an expense to clean it. I bought special things. I only had one pot, and I'm in trouble. So he saved me. But that's equal to Ne'itza Bekarka. There's a din called Ne'itza Bekarka. Ne'itza Bekarka is scrubbing. Scrubbing is the best way of cleaning. Okay? And all our kalim, first of all our kalim have been wiped. People usually wipe them, at least wipe them. But they've all been washed before they're put away. They've all been washed and scrubbed. And there's some kalim that are really dirty, and the fourth level would be scrubbing and washing them together, like really good. Okay? So Our Kalim are all clean, and the scrubbies that we use, even the plastic ones, the little Brillo type plastic ones, not those ones that we use on Shabbos, but the little Brillo ones, that's called Ne'itza. That's called Ne'itza Bakarka. Now, have you ever heard of a case where people used to bury their Kalim? Like they say, well, you got to bury your Kalim for 10 days or something like that. You ever hear of that? You never heard of that?
No, some
strange minhag that came into the world. You never heard of that, burying the Kalim? Okay, so Mordechai has heard of it. You know, there's a thing of burying Kalim. And what? Why? Why did the people do it? Because they got it mixed up. The halachic term that we use for scrubbing with a scrubby is called Ne'itza Bekarka. Over the generations, during our Golus, people heard Atzitz, Karka Ba'atzitz. Karka Ba'atzitz is dirt in a flower pot. And you'll find that even today, some people think that they can kosher a kli by just putting it in a flower pot with dirt, or burying it in their backyard for 10 days, or instead of stabbing it in the ground for 10 times. I'm telling you, pay attention, you will find somebody like that. Within a couple of months, you'll find people like that. Okay?
Yeah, then you go to Ta'ut.
What's that?
It's a big mistake.
It's a big mistake.
Okay.
Not only that, if you have a regular carton-based knife, then you have to deal with the rust afterwards.
Right, so it's even dangerous for the knife. Okay,
So what does it need to do?
If you trafe up your kli, very good. If you trafe up your kli because you cut a hot steak, you have to do hagala. Otherwise, if you use your kli, this is very interesting. So now I have a kli that's a meat knife. I use that meat knife to cut bread. So that's okay, I can eat the bread with milk. I used my meat knife to cut cheese. That's okay, because everything was cold. And we're saying that our kalim are clean. Because our kalim are clean, it's not going to transfer taste. The whole idea of tam ke'ikr doesn't even come into the world. It's not going to transfer taste. So what do we do if I used it? So if I use it for hot, kosher the kli. If I use it for cold, wipe it off. You don't have to stick it 10 times in the ground. If you let it dry, if you put it on the side, now it's dry, it's stuck on there. So then, because it's stuck on there, you need to actually rub it off, like that Holocaust survivor did with my pot, that he put the dirt in there. You can. That's the best. But you don't have to do that. That's nothing. You don't have to do that because you got it clean just by wiping it off. Okay?
Do the chatchila cut the cheese with the kosher knife?
Or? We are kadosh, so we don't. Yisrael kadoshim here. But technically, yes, you could do that. We don't do it because we don't want to mix up. I'll give you an example. We talked about it a little before. It's also shayich to hear. Can I take my coffee mug? My coffee mug, can I take that, which I drink with milk all the time, and just have it on my table and drink at Shabbos Friday night when I'm having meat and chicken and all that, and use it for my meal? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, because I'm not cooking in it. I'm just drinking, and even if something falls in it, nothing happens. So what, it got dirty? Wipe it off. You could do that. But the minhag of Bnei Yisrael is to have two knives, different sets of coffee cups. Dishes are a must, because dishes, you're eating hot food off of. So dishes are a must to have two. Sfardim only have one. Some Sfardim only have one because they hold that glass is not Bolea. And then they have to hold that Pyrex and all the other new glasses around. Probably they hold also that it's not Bolea. I don't know exactly. I didn't go into it so deep. But I've heard of that. People have one set of dishes. The final thing I want to talk about here, because we are talking about food touching. We're talking about food touching kalim, food touching food. There's a famous din that I want to kind of clear up right now. And it's well known, and we might have talked about it already, but let's just get it out on the table. What about the bread after my Shabbos meal? And so many people have told me, well, the bread after my Shabbos meal is meaty. Why is it meaty? It was on the Tabbos table. That's what they said. People touched it. People touched it with their hands. I mean, so usually what kind of people? So let's just slow down. Yeah.
What about also, it might have been heated up very hot in a meat oven.
That's next week. we'll talk about that next
but
week.
It's a fair question.
It's certainly a fair question.
Okay.
Right now we're talking about the bread I bought at the store, which was heated up baked in a parv oven.
No. Like, even you bought it at the store, but maybe
next
you
week.
Wanted to have
next
hot
week.
Bread.
Next week. Next week. That's. Come next week. that's a whole share.
Okay.
You will change the way you live.
As well as that. Baking,
yeah. Okay. So now you have. Bread that was on the table, and we have the scenario. Now let's slow it down. What's happening on that table? Okay? What's happening on that table? First of all, the worst case scenario is that people with dirty hands are touching that bread. Now, how many people are eating with their hands?
One,
okay, so your bread maybe we have to worry about. Well, what?
Just as a
vertigo. Usually, okay, so we're probably worried about maybe kids. I'm pretty mock-peed about it. I try not to eat with my hands. I have one kid that eats with his hands. Married, still eats with his hands. He teaches his kids to eat with his hands. I don't know, by example. But that's him. Except for that family, I don't know many people that really are eating. You know, they take the chicken out of the serving bowl with their hands and they start eating with the hands. And then I don't see many people doing that. I see really people. So really, your hands are probably pretty clean. You know, I know that's why we do my macaronim. Yes, maybe my hands are dirty, but even when we do my macaronim, you usually not so much on your hands. So if. In the worst case scenario, if you have dirty hands and you touch that bread, look at the bread. Just look at it. See if it's got a fingerprint on it. You know, look at, and if it does, you can clean it off. But most breads which have been just sliced, and I'm gonna now get more into the reality of what's going on, because people automatically assume things and they're not paying attention to what's going on when they eat. So most bread, first let me tell you what I do. Just to make it really easy on myself, I slice the bread and I leave it on my cutting board. You know, my challah board. Okay, that bread for sure I can eat with my milk meal. That didn't get off the cutting board. Why should that be fleishigs? Then there's a little bread box or a plate with the bread that got spread around. So that also, nothing happened there. The only bread you're going to be worried about is the bread that actually moved from the safe zone to the war zone. Okay, and the war zone's at that table. So once it got to the war zone, to the table, so then now what happens? If it's a slice of bread that hasn't been bitten into, that's probably also not been touched. It just got there. I mean, it fell off or it got moved. And then again, how many people are really eating with the dirty hands? So you have to look at the bread. If you get rid, all your good bread is good. You're only talking about a small portion of bread by the end of Shabbos. It's really a small portion of bread, unless you just throw your bread and scatter it around the table, you know, like they do tzedakah, you know, they spread your bread on the waters and it'll come back to you, all this. But spread your bread on the table. But if that's the case, you're only going to be talking about a few slices of bread. And if you really want that bread, look at it. See, was it bitten into? You might not want to use that for your food, but your French toast. But if it's clean, it's clean. And if it's dirty, clean it. If you want it. That's just common sense. No, because you don't want to cut into the table when you're cutting. Why do we use a board? Because you don't. I mean, that's the reason we use a board. It's just covered to the challah. I used to use a plate, but you know, then I earned a little bit more money, and then I started using a board.
Yeah.
It could be. Yeah. Maybe in the old days. Now in the old days, they used to say clean. You know, get rid of the bread. But really, they were talking about the perurim, the little crumbs that were left over, because when you eat, you make crumbs. And they ate a lot with their hands. Today, this is the din. Today, this is 100% safe. It just makes sense. It has to make sense. Okay, yeah. Yes.
Spills? Chicken soup, spills. I mean, you don't see it, but...
You think chicken spilled? Wait, let me get it straight. Chicken soup spilled and I didn't see it? I wouldn't worry about it. How did chicken soup spill and you didn't see it? It must be a couple drops. It can't be that the whole bowl. I'm not worried about a couple drops. And then I'll look at my bread. That's, again, this is a reality test. People say my table's got meat. I had chicken. My table's got meat all over it. You ever hear that? This whole table's fleishiks. What do you mean the whole table's fleishiks? You had two pieces of chicken there, and each guy got one of them, and now the whole thing, you have to be in tune with reality, yeah.
I take the chicken off the bowl for my kids.
Yeah.
There's no chicken on my fingers. I feel my hands are...
That's a problem, correct.
So I'm saying, even though I don't see anything, but still I touch the fella now.
You'll then...
I don't see anything.
So then maybe didn't get... Who said... Here's the din. You are now saying a very important din. We said that if milk and if meat and cheese touched, you have to wash it off. That's if one of them are wet or salty. But if it's not wet or salty, just dry, two dry things, you don't have to do anything. Then you'll see the oil. If there's not enough oil to come off from your hands, it's okay. It's okay. You look. It stayed on your hand. If meat and cheese touch, and they're dry, nothing happens. Nothing. Meat and cheese, just nothing happens. Only if it's wet. Yes.
Okay. So. What if you just want to be machmir and say, my halal is fleishiks? There's still nothing wrong with that, right?
Right.
So if you say, okay, I have chicken on my hands from how to help cut my kids' food up.
Okay.
And so.
Okay,
so,
good. So that's...
If you want to be machmir and say, this is... Perfect.
Okay, now here's where the gray area comes in. You want to be machmir, we're going to say like you that my hands were greasy and they touch something. That's wonderful. But don't think that's... Now everybody else who is not doing that is got a problem. And this is where we have to understand the real true hashkafa. Sometimes people take on chumras, and they don't know why, and they don't know what they're doing, and then when they meet somebody that doesn't follow exactly their minhag, they think, I'm right, because that's the minhag. That's beyond the minhag. That's the din. That's why I'm doing it. I'm the din. And therefore, what you're doing, okay, what can I do? When you get a little bit more Yirat Shamayim, you'll also behave like me. And that's a problem. That's a problem. We're going to be talking about that in Shir number 7. We talk about the chickens, kashrut of chickens. Okay, let's... Now we're going to go to this week's show. We caught up. What time is it?
9:21.
Okay. Well, you know, this week's show we have dishwashers. I'm sure everybody wants to hear about the dishwashers. Okay, so we're talking about washing up, Kaylin. The real big thing is that a lot of, in the old days, they used to have one sink. How'd they get by on one sink? We have two sinks and we come up with all these questions. They had one sink and they didn't have too many questions. You know, but we, every 5 minutes, we're calling up the rabbi, I got this problem, that. What is going on? So there are a few concepts that we have to understand before we can paskin a shaila, or things that we have to watch out for in order to know whether or not it's a question. Okay, so now we're talking about washing up. We're going to be talking about sinks and dishwashers. And a little bit, we're going to apply this to stovetops and countertops. We've already talked about this, but you can see how everything is tied together. Washing up. First of all, you don't even have a question until the water's Yad Soledet Bo. Yad Soledet Bo means that the amount of heat that a baby's hand will burn. He'll jerk it away there, or your hand. So that is, in Fahrenheit, the minimum is 110 degrees. Some people say 160 Fahrenheit. Or 43 Celsius. Some people say 71. So you don't even have a problem if you're washing the kalim in lukewarm water. Blah, 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 and then you're mashing milk, it's inflation. Somehow everything got put into one sink. We don't want to do one sink, but somehow it doesn't even begin. Okay, that's number one. Number two, that things that we have to be aware of that we can stay out of trouble with. A sink is a kli sheni. A kli rishon is something on the stove. And a kli sheni is where the water goes when it's poured out from your pot on the stove into something else. So a coffee mug would be a kli sheni. Your sink, even if it fills up with water, hot water, that's already a kli sheni. Kli sheni, you could be machmir, but there's way that it's meikar adin, it's not a problem. Kli sheni. So if you already have a suffix or you have all kinds, we're going to get out of our problems in the sink because it's a cliche. But let me go one step more. Most people say, if I ask you, let's add one sink. Most people say this about their two sinks. If I ask a person, is your sink treif, let's say you have one. Is your sink treif, or two? Do your sinks treif? Most people say, yeah, my sink's treif. I have one milk, you know, I use one, okay, let's say by one. It's easier to understand. I have a milking sink and a flashing sink. All right, I agree. People are not going to go, I see everybody shaking their head, forced to agree. There's no, you're not going to say so quickly your milking sink or your flashing sink is treif. But if you had one, like they did in the old days, you might think that your sink is treif. And the answer is it's not. Why? Because for your sink to be treif, as we learned about the stove, you have to have food coming off of your stove, your kli rishon. You have to pour it directly into your sink, and then within 24 hours pour the other min. So you pour meat into your sink, and then you have to pour milk into your sink, and they have to hit in exactly the same spot within 24 hours. If you're just cleaning up and putting milk in your sink and meat in your sink, that doesn't trafe up your sink. It's all cold. It's all maximum cliche-nies. So to really trafe up a sink, to really have a trafe, to really find a trafe sink, you're going to have a hard time finding a trafe sink, because it's only if they hit the same spot within 24 hours. We'll just connect that up to the stove. It's the same thing what we said about your stove, that the stove tops, most stove tops, almost every stove, is really kosher, meikar adin. You're not trafe. Why? Because you have to have milk and meat falling in the same spot on that stovetop within 24 hours. And on top of that, there's two types of iruis. Yes, one second, yes.
Then why, I think I understand what you're saying. why is it that your band have had us put, like, you know, like these plastic water tubs in sinks where we live now, where we have two sinks and where we live?
For the year?
Yeah.
Or for Pesach?
No, for during the year and for Pesach.
You put a plastic thing in your sink?
Yeah, I think I believe Rabbi Lewis told my wife that she should.
Should you put a plastic bowl in the sink? You put a plastic...
Like those plastic tubs.
With the little hole in it.
No hole. When it's full, then we dump out. We dump out the water.
Why would you do that?
That's so.
I can't answer. If Rabbi Milinowitz said to do it, he's Morad Astra. I'm not going to argue with him.
Okay.
You better go find out why.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. I can't second guess. Once I hear a psak, I'm not going to second guess. Okay. But what I understand is that it's very hard to have a sink that's straight. And even, by the way, and even in the worst case scenario, you do pour milk and you do pour meat in the same spot within 24 hours. Wait another 24 hours and your sink goes back to being nothing. And you could just go and you just continue using it. Yes.
And then you said also towards the notification, because it has a bad taste to the taste of living inside.
Yeah, that's one of the next things.
What did he say?
You're talking about the soap, right?
Yeah.
So that is, well, we're going to get to that. Yes.
What if you have a porcelain sink?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Okay, so there's more coming. There's more heterim.
Talk about the one sink.
Even the one sink. You can get out. There's plenty of ways out of the problem. Okay, what people do with one sink, and this I think is a fitting minhag to do. It's fitting more than minhag. It's a good thing to do. It would be put something down on the bottom of the sink. Okay, and even if you could raise it up a little bit, but lamaisa, if you didn't. You're also okay. We have a lot of leeway by sinks. Yeah.
What happens if you did tray foam by some chance? You tray foam the porcelain sink. Can you kosher porcelain?
You don't need to. You can't kosher the porcelain, but you don't need to kosher your sink. The only time you need to kosher clean, listen carefully, is when there's a chashash that you're going to be using a kli again. It's called eino ben yoma. Atu ben yoma. When you're going to use a kli that's 24 hours, eino ben yoma, atu, because of, or we will come to use a ben yoma. That's the why you need it. That's why we don't use meat kli to milk and then back, and then because you're going to make a mistake one day. But that's only by kaling. That's only by dishes and pots and pans and all that stuff. Where you might make a mistake, but you're not going to make a mistake and use your I'm going to now take this sink and cook in it. There's no chance. Therefore, if you traipsed up your sink after 24 hours, it's back to being parv again. It's back to being nothing, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to kosher it. You don't have to kosher your countertops. You don't have to kosher your stovetop. Imagine every Arab Shabbos or Motzi Shabbos, you're going to kosher your stovetop. You're going to kosher your countertops because milk spilled out and meat spilled out. There's no reason to do that. Because why? You don't cook on those things. You don't cook. There's no chance. It's very, very far to say that I'm going to use those countertops with the opposite food. Very far in the future. I'll just read down the list of other things which we can be makel on. Other heterim here that take away the shiloh, or that you have to watch out for. If you don't have these things, then you do have a shiloh. Okay, and we will probably talk about the dishwashers next week. Okay, so we said temperature is one of the things that you get out of problems with, because most people don't wash in water that's scalding hot, that's burning their hands, unless they're wearing gloves. Okay. Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. We said sinks are Kli Sheni usually. Irui, Now, there's no, in general, there's no E-Rui in your sinks. However, if you turn on your faucet long enough that by the time that the temperature of the dude chemish of your boiler, and it keeps going down, 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 and it goes along, that could be an E-Rui. That could be an E-Rui. Because it's still hot and it's connected to your pot. But even if it's an E-Rui, think of this. It has to hit the fork, bounce off the fork without hitting your sink, and then go to the next one. Or they have to be so close together that they're basically touching. But if it hits the sink, then it already turns into a cliché-ny. And then it goes from a cliché-ny to your next food, to your fork, to your knife. Nothing happens. It's very hard in E-Rui from your sink tap, which is, unless you got one of these things and you're actually putting it down and trying to trape something up, it's very hard to trape something up just by turning on the tap. Why is it? No, that is E-Rui. But you got to have the E-Rui hit the fork and the other thing close together. Usually they're not that close together. It's got to hit them, either they're touching or the water bounces off from one to the other before it hits the sink. Once it hits the sink, it's just cliché-y. Okay? We said that the kalim have to be ben yoma. They have to be that the kalim that you're washing up, for there to be a problem, you have to be washing up kalim that are used in a kli rishon. They have to be milchix or fleshix kalim. If I used it for a bowl or to stir my coffee with, the spoon that I stir my coffee with is nothing. That can't trape up anything. Different minhagim, you'll kasher it maybe from a minhag, but lamaisa, it's not called a milchix spoon just because I stirred up my coffee. That won't trape up your sinks. That won't trape up anything. Lamaisa, there are people. There's room to be machmir. It's a good thing to be machmir. Just to kasher your spoon, if you use the fleshik spoon in your coffee cup, you would kasher that because you can. You can. Your cup would be okay because the mug is okay because that's cheres. You can't kasher. Whatever they want you to try, and the halacha would be try and do what you can do. That's a Rebbe Akiva Eger talks about. Okay, then, so we said if the kli is not used with a kli rishon for 24 hours, that's called an eino ben yoma kli. Okay, kli rishon means something on the stove or just off the stove, but not dirty. Most of our kalim have enough water. Most of our sinks have enough water to negate the dirt. It has to be one and the other right at the same time. There's soap, it knocks it out. And sponges, we're just going to leave that, and we're just going to end up with sponges. Sponges contain a lot of schmutz, so if the sponge has soap in it again, that kills the taste, and we can be makel. Okay, we will, what time is it? Is it 9:30?
3:05.
Okay, any questions? And we'll take it up from here. We're going to start out with dishwashers, and be ready to talk about challah, your challah next week. Okay, yes. Yes, questions.
I do have a question. It's just kind of an odd question. If you have a clear stone,
yes.
You take the stone out of there.
Yes.